Good day, and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
And from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge, Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah and T.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on our journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it. We're back and better than ever. I'm Tim.
And I'm Sarah.
Sarah, it's snow season. Is it happening?
Thankfully, yes. The most snow and terrain open in years in both Winter Park and Steamboat. And we have another foot coming in the next 24 hours. So we are doing the happy dance here in Colorado. How about you?
Well, no snow, thank goodness, because we don't handle it very well in this area when we do have snow. But winter is here. Holidays are here. People are looking forward to all of the festivities coming up. They're looking forward to the end of the year, as we are as well, as this is actually going to be our last podcast with a guest for the year, and we're finishing strong. We have none other than Steve Milo on. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Sarah.
Steve Milo, who is the founder and CEO of V-Trips, and we always like to start off with, you know, how did you get here? Tell us about Steve Milo and V-Trips and all that sort of thing.
Okay, sure, Tim and Sarah. I started in this industry basically as a rent-by-owner. I was running an e-commerce division of a very large privately held company, and I started doing vacation rentals in Florida just to get away from the winter weather. It eventually grew into me becoming a property manager and then taking and managing on other people's properties. During the recession, we started getting opportunities to buy other companies, and we progressively started buying other companies starting in 2008, about one per year. And as the technology in the industry started to evolve, and as hosted systems and some of the other things started to come into play, I started to look and realize that we could expand outside of our geographical footprint of Florida into other areas. And that's really what we started doing. What drove me initially was to reduce seasonality. Florida, we have seasonality. And I started to look at how could we expand to a place where we could basically have our staff and have our centralized employees have work all year round. And so we started looking at markets that were counter seasonal to the Florida markets. That's what led us to Tennessee, Hawaii, and New Mexico, and some of the other states we've been in. And it's really created a robust year-round business, all driven by technology from a centralized hub and spoke situation. And the last question is why? It's because I'm very interested in growing. I just enjoy the challenge of building a business and leveraging what we think is some pretty neat technology to build and to grow our presence in North America.
Thanks for sharing that. I have one follow-up question to that, and I think you kind of answered it. So Tim and I both have two locations, as you know. Tim probably has the energy to do more. I am absolutely a person that says, that's it, I'm done. I like two locations, that's hard enough. What is it about you, Steve, besides enjoying growth, that with all that's going on every day for you, all the emails, all the problems, all the trips, all the everything, all the speaking engagements, that you can say to yourself, yes, I want to be in California now and I want to start one there? What is it that makes you go for that challenge?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's driven by different things and everybody's at a different point in life. What I enjoy doing is I like building, and I like being models that I think can grow. And I like also challenges, and I like the fact that I own the business and I get the reward of the risk. And it's been incredibly rewarding to grow, because there is undeniably an economy of scale within this industry. There's undeniably the ability to leverage technology. And we are one of the companies that's been able to grow without venture capital because we're profitable. And so in essence, it's a combination of we make more money, satisfaction of growing a business, satisfaction of providing what we think is superior opportunities for guests, to vacation in the locations that we go into.
Just to clarify before we move off this point about growth and your tentacles that surround the vacation rental industry, give us a quick rundown. So you're physically in Florida, and that's where you started. What are your other operations, and what is the total number of properties that you manage now, Steve?
We're at a little under 1,900 properties. We're in five states: Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, New Mexico, and Hawaii. We've got 18 different offices, about 160 employees. We continue to look at opportunities all the time, but in each of the markets, the difference between what we've done and some of the other competitors have done is we're looking to go deep. So it's not just get into a market and then run to the next market, particularly in some of the markets where we really like them and where we really like the numbers. We're interested in consolidating those markets and building them out and really becoming the dominant player in those markets. It just gives you a kind of a scope. But yeah, we are centrally based out of Florida, actually Ponte Vedra, Florida, which is a suburb of Jacksonville. The office we're in is a mile from the ocean.
That's not bad. Hey, one question on that. You have 160 employees for almost 1,900 properties. There has to be economy of scale, like you just said, because that ratio is not what we have for our number of properties. What is the number one area that you found there can be true economy of scale that works?
You're definitely going to get economy of scale in leadership positions. First, you only need one CFO, one chief marketing officer, one CEO. You're going to have economy of scale there. Then you're going to have economy of scale in accounting. So centralized accounting, you're going to gain economy of scale as you grow the business. Accounting is not going to linear with the revenue. So that's one part. IT is another component as well. And so is centralized marketing. So those are really the three core elements as you're building out a model of centralized G&A that you would expect savings. Over a period of time, we also believe we'll get centralized savings on a call center reservation system and some elements of guest services. If you compare us to companies like Vacasa that have over 2,000 employees or Turnkey that are close to 500 employees, we're very, very efficient for what we've built and how many properties we manage and how many different states we're in, the growth opportunities that are presented by being in that many markets.
Speaking of building things, Steve, one of the things really exciting to me that I think you're very involved with is this concept of purpose-built homes, which I think you have some great familiarity with. Fill us in on how that works and what a great purpose-built home looks like.
Yeah, so Tim and Sarah, that's really what I'm most excited about and what I'm most focused on. So anyone that's been in the industry for a while, and certainly both of you have been, and so have I, we look at this industry and we've discovered that it starts with the product, and we're talking about the property. When you have a property that is retrofitted, you immediately are having issues with guest experience, and you try your best to kind of work around retrofitted properties that were never really meant to be a vacation rental or a cabin, and now they've been retrofitted into that for some reason. The owner no longer wants to use it as often, etc. Or it doesn't have the amenities that it should. It's just not the right product. And as we've gone through the recession, very little inventory was built during the recession. And meanwhile, during the recession, portals like Airbnb, HomeAway, and now Booking.com have entered the market. The demand for the properties for the vacation rental sector have just exploded, right? So we have far more demand, not enough supply, and the supply that's there in some cases is old, retrofitted inventory that just is not really great for the guest experience. So the paradigm shift is, how do you build new inventory? And purpose-built inventory, Tim, is literally at the very beginning, the blueprints, you build the floor plan, the amenities, the pool, the indoor pool, heated, etc., for what the demand is that the guest really wants. That's purpose built.
And on that, what are you finding? I mean, I'm sure there's features in Florida that are different than Colorado, but what are some universal elements of this purpose built type vacation rental? What are the amenities you're saying, God, this is what everybody wants, and this is what a lot of regular residential homes built by a regular builder sometimes don't have?
Yeah, that's a great question. So here are some common features. One, larger living spaces, particularly for dining, particularly for living, where everybody can gather together. So you don't chop living room and family room into pieces. You have one large, great space where the family can get together, because everything about the experience of a vacation rental is the experience of people being together. Then typically bedrooms that have in-suite bathrooms, private bathrooms, as opposed to these Jack and Jill situations, you have less closet space, you don't need it, and you don't need a huge amount of room for the bedroom because people aren't living there, they're on vacation, and so you can gain space for the private bathrooms. And then one of the features that's the highest demand is the private heated pool, and we're starting to see more and more demand for elevators, particularly with generational houses where we have the entire generation of families in there. Having an elevator where mobility challenged seniors can join is very important. So those are some of the real core elements of building purpose built.
Good stuff. I agree with all of those. I also think a second living room is what we get asked for a lot. So the kids can go somewhere else to play while the adults hang out. Do you hear that too?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff we're building is going to include as feature set game rooms, which are essentially multi-purpose room, right? So you call it a game room, but it's going to have the large TV, some elements of game, obviously digital games as well as physical games like foosball, air hockey, that type of stuff, and then comfortable lounge seating. So that kind of multi-purpose game room or living room is the other component that we're designing into these purpose-built properties.
How about exterior spaces, Steve? Are you seeing an emphasis on like outdoor kitchens and more getting people out of the houses to enjoy the outside?
The thing that we really focused on in the builds is to get the views. In terms of the outdoor, though, if you're purpose-built and you actually own a development, you build common area amenities. So those amenities are include, of course, pools, but also spaces like soccer fields, multi-purpose football, soccer, cross fields, basketball courts, fitness rooms with CrossFit and multi-purpose fitness equipment so that people can get a really good workout. And then in some of the places where there's enough space, even going to the next level with water splash zones and lazy rivers. So common area space is what allows us to add that in. And you need enough cabins or rentals to create enough density to allow that common area amenities to be built.
So what you're really talking about is almost like a hotel of vacation rentals in one neighborhood that have common amenities. And it's like a resort, but it's large homes with huge families staying in them. Is that what you're going for?
Well, actually, the development we're currently working on is going to actually be a mix, right? So it'll be a mix of big homes, small homes. We'll actually have some tree houses there, Sarah. I'm sure you're familiar with how popular those are right now. And we're going to have some condos, which will have more one bedrooms. So we're talking about a mixed-use resort development. The difference between a hotel and a vacation rental is the flexibility of ownership, right? So a hotel is typically common ownership, whereas vacation rentals can be individual ownership. Also, it's a much more flexible product, right? So hotel resort product is not very flexible. Vacation rentals, we have a lot of flexibility in how we design them, how we build them, and even the ownership structure. It's a better product. So we're just taking this old Marriott and Hilton product and we're evolving it. And we have a lot of people to thank, including our friends over at Airbnb, for how big this industry has become and how big of a future it will be.
Don't want to leave this without saying that when you talk to Steve, you don't argue the facts because he has the facts. And so when I go back and I hear you say about guest preferences and so on, what are you doing to find out what people are looking for, Steve?
We have really good data analytics as we're able to take a look at not only what people book, but what they try to look at, but it's not available because we don't have enough inventory, right? So you have null searches, or you have searches where they just can't get what they want. And we know for certain, statistically, that a private heated pool is the number one feature set that guests are looking for. They're also looking for larger properties, 4, 5, 6, even higher bedroom counts. And we have actually many more 1 and 2 bedrooms than we do 6, 7, 8. So we get a ton of data, and that data is part of what we shared with developers as we start to build purpose-built floor plans. And we talk to potential owners and REITs about what's going to maximize their income potential, because it's a two-way street, right? It's about enhancing the guest experience. It's also making certain that the people that are investing in these properties get a healthy return.
Thanks. That's really intriguing. I think you can take that as a listener. You can take that just for your area. You don't have to build a home necessarily, but I find that a lot of owners now are asking, which vacation rental do you think I should buy? Or how should I build this house I'm building? And so you can take a lot of what Steve shared and be the expert in that for the owner. Let's switch topics. If we're going to talk about OTAs, Tim, then I want to ask him in this certain way. And that is, Steve, that Tim Cafferty here, he claims he's 1-2% or less using OTAs.
Well, it's less than 7. I didn't say 1-2. Now, come on.
Okay, what percent?
It's 7.
7. Okay, still 7, right? Whereas I'm at 30 to some days 35. And I think Steve might be more. He can correct us if I'm wrong. So what would you say to Tim? Because what I say to Tim is, come on, go get the new customer that isn't finding you anyway, and then convert them to book direct later. What do you think about Tim's approach?
Well, I think in general, and I'm going to start with a new session at publicly speaking about marketing tips for next year. And it's really about diversification, right? Because the more you diversify your marketing, the more power you have. So what I would say is you should aggressively attempt to create as many marketing channels as you can and then leverage them accordingly. So that means be robust with OTAs, be robust with Google, be robust with your own direct website, and then use pricing to kind of create a difference between what your website is, which should always be the lowest price by far, and what other sources are. And by doing that, you're going to ultimately use the OTAs to bring in new leads and then encourage your customers to book directly with you. And that's where you gain a healthy business because, you know, the market that Tim's in, I think, is more of a traditional market where it's a drive-in market, probably a week-to-week market. There's probably a set customer base that knows where they're going every summer, and that's great. Sarah, your market is more of a 3- or 4-night drive-in market as well, but people don't necessarily know which location they're going. So there's much more competition for the guests. Guests kind of hop around. You've built diversified marketing. I think over time, you're going to see more and more of this diversification of marketing going. Tim's customer base is what I would call on the mature side. Sarah, your customer base is actually where the future is. The future is not customers going back to the same destination year after year. I mean, that was how it used to happen with baby boomers. But as we see millennials, Gen Z, you're going to see a lot more hopping around. And so that hopping around is important that you're able to diversify your marketing because you're going to be able to have to bring in new clients to be able to sustain the loss of customers over time who retire or are no longer coming back to your destination.
I think that Steve Milo just said, I am the wave of the future. I'm pretty sure he just said that.
And I'm a has-been.
But so, Steve, if Tim wanted your advice in one sentence, what would you say about his OTA strategy?
Well, I'd say it's a little behind the times. So that's two words.
I love it.
Just keep goading him on. Yeah, okay, Miss Sarah, I got it. Well, I know, Sarah, you want to talk about Google. But before we do that, people listening and hearing the word Steve Milo probably immediately think of the fact he's a top-rated speaker at VRMA, VRM Intel, not only North America but in Europe. And for lack of the precise wording on the session, it's an unfiltered look at OTAs. And I love to go there just to watch those people squirm in the back of the room, Steve, as you put your facts up there. And I guess my question is, what is the state of the industry and OTAs at this point?
Well, the state is that it's changing more than most analysts predicted. So I think analysts, insiders always want to tell you, here's who's the winner, here's who the loser. The problem with the space is it is very dynamic, right? So 5 years ago, we would have said HomeAway, TripAdvisor, and maybe Airbnb. Now we don't even talk about TripAdvisor vacation rentals. And today, there's no guarantee that Expedia, HomeAway will even be a dominant player 5 years from now. It's certainly not clear with Booking.com and Airbnb and Google and even companies like Amazon coming into space, who's going to be on top. So it's a very, very dynamic industry in part because it's an immature sector. I mean, we're talking about the alternative accommodations is immature. And because technology also has so many aspects of change Google being one of the biggest, but certainly wouldn't count out Amazon and the impact they could have on the vacation rental sector.
I've heard you speak the last few times, and you've really starting to emphasize that Google's getting into our quote-unquote space, as Tim loves to call it. What do you mean for the common vacation rental company owner like us? Maybe we don't speak SEO language as much as you do in a techie way. What do you mean that Google's getting into this industry, and how specifically could we take advantage of that knowing they're coming?
For most companies, they probably have been working with Google for a while. Probably they've had paid search. Either they've been doing it directly or they've been using a web marketing firm. The difference when I talk about Google is in the last couple of years, Google first entered the airspace with Google Air, and then they entered the hotel space. And Google Travel now, some would say it has a bigger market cap than even Booking.com, over $100 billion of market worth. And when I say they're coming into vacation rentals, that means vacation rentals now, just like hotels and air, is an emphasis of Google Travel in a manner where ultimately you'll be able to, when you start to look for vacation rental destinations, you will get a meta search at the beginning. So up above everything will be a meta search. And that meta search will show you not just the property that you're looking for, but also the price. So just like hotel, just like air, you'll see a meta search at the top. Now, the reason why this is a game changer is, one, not only will it be available as a pay per click, it'll also be available as a cost per action, which means cost per action would be a percentage, just like an OTA, right? So you only pay an OTA if they provide a booking. In this case, you would only pay Google if they provided a booking. So you will literally work with Google and your cart will be converted in a way that they can track through the transaction. So what this opens up is just amazing possibilities, right? Because all of a sudden in this industry, one, it's unbranded. Two, most of the OTAs do a terrible job with this category. They don't have all the listings and their user interface is terrible. So now with Google, you can kind of bypass those OTAs, go to MetaSearch and find the property you want exactly based on the long tail search you have. Now, what's great about this is parity, rate parity is not a requirement in the vacation rental, which means we don't have to have the same pricing on HomeAway as we do on our website. In fact, we can have a much lower price on our website. So price is one of the biggest components that creates conversion. The other thing that creates conversion is the landing page. And all of us can build landing pages that are much better landing pages than the landing pages on either Airbnb, HomeAway, or Booking.com, because our landing pages, we can tailor them exactly. So if somebody's looking for a pet-friendly experience, we can build pet-friendly landing pages. If they're looking for houses or cottages or cabins with elevators, we can create that. If they're looking for large bedroom properties, we can create that. And we can do so in a way where our price is always lower, content is always better, which means we, the lodging component, the vacation rental property managers, win.
I hope everybody just pulled over. We have pullover moments, Steve. You just did one. And you might want to rewind that three or four more times because I finally really got what you meant. Thanks.
Well, sure. Well, you know, one thing, so people ask me, so talk about dynamic. What does dynamic mean? Well, the thing about dynamic pages is relevancy, right? So relevancy is, and you'll see this as you go into e-commerce sites like Amazon, your experience is different from Tim's experience because you're different. You have different user tracks, you have different shopping, what you've bought. And so your experience is different from Tim's experience. So when we talk about dynamic, we're not talking about building a page where everybody who has a pet sees the same page. We're talking about using the user path based on history that we had with the user, as well as history that we have with like users. When we talk about dynamic, think about how powerful it is. We have well over 10,000 dynamic landing pages at this point. Probably a year from now, it'll be 10 times that. Because every time we get data, every time we get information, we're able to better and better optimize that user experience based on like users. So the more users that we have, the better the experience is, the better the conversion is. And we have our own internal search system. So we're taking that data and meshing it with our landing pages and creating a dynamic page experience with the lowest price, which equals the highest conversion.
I've just been curious about this, and I wonder if anybody else is, Steve. We see you on a panel at every conference. It's like the Steve Milo show, and we love it. We're cheering in the back because you're making the OTAs uncomfortable. Why do you spend so much of your energy and time speaking around the country, probably around the world, when you have a lot of other things going on in your business?
You know, that's a great question, Sarah. So, you know, when I started this business right back early on in 2006, I was in the middle of rental restrictions with the city of Venice, Florida. And literally, I could not find any property manager that wanted to help battle this terrible, terrible rental regulations. And for the first couple of years, I found myself alone against terrible, terrible government abuse, trying to regulate and restrict rental restrictions. And I had enough money, even though I was quite small, to go to court. And we were able to beat the city of Venice, and we were able to negotiate a settlement with them. But part of what happened was eventually learned there were other associations at that point, VRMA and Florida Vacation Rental Manager Association. And I joined forces with them. By joining forces and working at that point with HomeAway, which was owned by the initial founders, Carl Shepard and Brian Sharples, they were interested as well as partnering to build a better industry. And that was what led us to hiring a lobbyist in the state of Florida and passing the preemption bill, which was pretty historical at that time in 2011, which protected the vacation rental industry in the state of Florida. And so I then became involved in Florida Vacation Rental Manager Board of Directors and then the Vacation Rental Manager Association Board of Directors. And I started to see the value of pulling property managers together so that we would be united for the common good, which would be against regulation. Obviously, that resonates well with members when they're under threat. When they're not under threat, they're asleep. But when they're under threat, it's the most important issue they face. And certainly now we're starting to be proactive. So we don't wait until a member is under attack. We're trying to focus on a state preemption and trying to build a level playing field so that our owners, our guests, our companies can have a level playing field against special interests and hotel lobbies and things like that that want to regulate this industry out. But the other thing I found out was the other issue wasn't just government, but it was some of the OTAs themselves that were doing some really, really bad behavior. And this began probably 4 or 5 years ago with TripAdvisor. When TripAdvisor bought FlipKey, FlipKey was a wonderful company. I mean, just a fantastic company. And we loved the founders, TJ and Jeremy Goff. And, you know, they built a great business and then they ended up selling it to TripAdvisor. And I think we were very optimistic that this would be a fantastic partnership. And then it started to really go bad. We started to see terrible communication and abuse and overcharging, technical issues, and our data being corrupted. TripAdvisor basically was being a very, very bad supplier at that point, denying that these problems existed, blaming it on the client, and then taking credit cards and charging them, property managers, and saying, take it or leave it. And, you know, this came and started circulating to me because I was on board of VRMA. And once I got off the board, I said, you know what, I'm going to start to talk about these OTAs and I'm going to really single out the ones that are bad. And I'm also going to talk about the ones that are good. And it really started with TripAdvisor. I just started to hammer TripAdvisor after session after session. And it really resonated with the listeners because people started saying, hey, it's not just us. We thought it was just us. No, it's TripAdvisor. And I think that really gave that education, that knowledge that it wasn't just you, that it was TripAdvisor was a bad company to do business with. And it really started to spread because then members started talking to each other and they said, okay, well, they're so bad. Why are we even dealing with them? And they disconnected from TripAdvisor. And I think that showed the power that property managers have when we're united together, not just united against regulations, but united against bad vendors like TripAdvisor.
Wow. Aren't you glad you asked, Sarah?
Yeah.
That was good.
I agree.
Yeah.
It really has shown the power of what we can do, like when we convince VRBO to stop with that ridiculous policy of having to pay them for somebody we book direct.
You mean the matchback?
The matchback.
Yes, the matchback.
Really well.
Right. Well, so, you know, that's happened over the last year, right? Or 2 years. Look, anyone who knows me and has followed me, at one point people said I was a HomeAway poster child because I just used to say such good things about HomeAway. And I think they deserved a lot of credit for a lot of the good they did in the industry. But then about 3 years ago, they sold to Expedia and new leadership came in place. And just like TripAdvisor, the things that really alarm me about HomeAway is, one, their communication, and two, they just haven't been a truthful company. I know that truth and trust is a core value of their marketplace, and that's what they claim on their website, but they haven't been a truthful company. And it starts with some of the people in the leadership team, and it certainly has been throughout the organization that they deny things, and they deny things until you point it out to them and they can't run away from it. And then even the information they provide you is inaccurate. So when they tell you after there's so much of a, you know, people lash out about the matchback because they decide to tell us they're going to do matchback on subscription the week before Christmas. And of course, property managers are enraged because the chief commerce officer was at BRMA. He never talked about it. They had ResFest. They never talked about it. They tell us the week before Christmas, which is, that's up there with Volkswagen and the emission issues in terms of how terrible you could be with communication to your customers. So they tell us this, and then we get so upset. A lot of the employees at HomeAway take a vacation to get away from the property managers that upset. Then they come out with a letter saying, oh, it's going to be the honor system. So the chief commerce officer comes out and says, oh, it's going to be an honor system. It was one big misunderstanding. Then they publish a video, and because people are still unhappy, and they publish this video, and it says, oh, it's you decide, you decide. And then they're running around going into breakfast summits saying, please forgive us, we apologize. And then they come out with their terms of service, and the terms of service says, HomeAway decides, it's at their discretion, they have the right to audit, and if you don't like it, too bad. That is a lie. And that is what is wrong with HomeAway, and the fact that they didn't realize that when people actually were going to read their terms of service and they were actually going to hold HomeAway accountable to what they had said previously versus what they put in their terms of service. And they've been terrible at handling the communication of this issue. It starts with the top of the leadership. They've been in denial. The leadership has not been upfront about facing this issue. And it's left a very, very bad taste in property managers' mouth. And here's the issue with property managers. The people that are property managers know that they have choices, especially after the issues with TripAdvisor vacation rentals. And so when things are going well, they typically are not going to go out of their way like Tim and invest in new forms and channels of advertising, because there's a cost. Anytime you go and you invest in a new channel, there's an upfront cost, there's a resource cost. But when you're angry or you don't trust the vendor that you're dealing with, you're going to make that investment. You're going to put those resources into place, even if short-term it costs you money, because long-term you don't trust that vendor, and long-term you know that it's in your best interest to begin to diversify. And that's what property managers have done with HomeAway, just like they did it with TripAdvisor, and they're going to continue to do it because right now they don't trust HomeAway.
Sarah, stop poking the bear. You are poking the bear.
I got him
You're
going.
Getting fired up here, okay? All right, so here's something you can't run away from, Steve, and that is rapid fire. We promised you were going to do it, and I'll tell you what our goal is going in here. We're going to make you laugh. That is our goal for this, okay? So be ready. This is our inane game we play with every guest we have. We ask you off the cuff and out of left field questions that you can't prepare for, and you can answer just a few words, or you can be a little more wordy if you like. So, everybody ready? Let's start the clock. All right, Steve, describe yourself in three words.
Very energetic and restless.
Restless. Okay, would you rather run down the street naked or throw out the first pitch at the World Series?
Throw out the first pitch.
Okay. Do you have a sports team?
He didn't laugh.
No, but yeah,
I'm going to have to take it up a notch. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Do you have a sports team that you follow, Steve?
I was following the Jaguars.
Okay. Well, that made him laugh. There you go.
Oh, he did. He just fake laughed, I think.
No, it's been a tough year for the Jags. We understand.
Steve, what's your favorite holiday?
I love Christmas.
Yeah, I can tell he's smiling. I can hear the inner child coming out there. All right. How about, let me take that smile off your face. What was your worst subject in high school? Or in school in general?
Spanish.
Did you get A's, C's or worse in high school?
I was A's.
Of course you did. Come on. All right, Steve. Little known fact about you amongst some is that you are a fitness guy. Describe your fitness regimen to us.
Well, Tim, I mean, it starts with I made a decision I don't want to give up beer. So if I don't give up beer, then I have to increase my metabolism. So now in the morning, I'm running 6 miles at a pretty good pace, normally along the beach. And then in the late afternoon, I go out and do a kind of a CrossFit workout in the gym using weights with a high amount of repetition. And I'm doing that about 6 days a week, and it makes me feel good.
Maybe we could get his CrossFit kind of regimen. We'll post that on Facebook. What do you think?
There you go.
If you weren't in this industry, Steve, what would you choose to do for a career?
Well, you know, interesting fact was before I did vacation rentals, I was in the comic book industry. I used to have a pretty big business in comic books. I've always thought about the opportunity to go back and using technology and building really a website aimed at fandom. It's something I really wanted to do, but then saw this opportunity in the vacation rental industry.
Did you say fandom?
Yeah, fans of content. So you know how you have fans of sports teams and they've done a great job, a brilliant job of consolidating those websites under different flags. So you have football and soccer and basketball and all these different fan sites in every city throughout the world, really. And then companies have come in and consolidated and kind of created a centralized platform for those to do content, but also to centralize the advertising and accounting, the IT. I think there's the opportunity to do that with comic books, fantasy, science fiction, etc. I think that would be an opportunity I'd love to pursue.
What's the best piece of advice you ever got, Steve?
Save your money.
What's your biggest fear?
Probably heights.
All right. What gift or talent do you not possess that you would like to have?
Mind reading.
How many emails are in your inbox right now?
15.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. Well, it's been a few minutes. You'll clear it out as soon as we're done here. How about your favorite song, Steve? That jam. You're going down the road. You turn up the song every time.
I don't know. There's so many, but probably Born to Run.
Should I sing it? Baby, you were born to run.
No, you shouldn't.
Maybe Steve laughed. Okay. What part of your vacation rental business do you dread dealing with?
Angry guest.
Okay, so you're scanning channels. We just talked about your favorite song. Let's go back to like that favorite movie. You're scanning channels. You pass it. You've seen it 15 times, but you got to stop one more time and watch it. What is it?
Good Will Hunting.
Oh, love it. How about them apples?
There you go. I was thinking of saying that about Home Away.
You should. Next, at your next panel, will you try to work in How About Them Apples somewhere?
I will.
Okay. You said that OTA websites are terrible. What's the one reason you say that? What's the one specific reason?
Pets.
Pets. Okay.
Try to find pet-friendly properties on these OTA sites and understand the sizes, the fees, whether there's registration. There's a complete lack of information on these websites, and as a consumer, it's almost impossible to try to figure it out. And a lot of consumers try to book a pet-friendly property, and then they realize that their pet is too big, or there's registration, or there's additional fees involved. And it's a real mess. And, you know, the irony of this is HomeAway came out with this press release that they were going to be emphasizing pet-friendly, and pet fees are one of the things that is broken on the HomeAway website, just one of many things that HomeAway talks about but doesn't execute.
All right, last one for me. Where will you and your company be in 3 years?
Multiple markets that we're not in now.
Okay, I have three more. I got to keep going. Steve, what is the best business book you've read in the past year?
I really enjoyed the Steve Jobs biography.
When you're on a plane, do you normally work or sleep and watch a movie?
Depends on what the trip is. If it's personal, I try to do a little bit of relaxing, watch a movie or watch Netflix. If it's business, I'm getting emails and working on worksheets, spreadsheets.
Okay, that's my right. Number one, the final question. I want one way that you create cleaning consistency. You mentioned on the Focusrite panel that consistency from the beginning to the end of the guest experience is important for you as a company. What's one way you create cleaning consistency?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that we created the Uber of cleaning.
Who has?
Well, John Banzek said that Turnkey had.
Of course.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Right. The Uber of cleaning, where the cleaners are cleaning in the unit, right? That's really the Uber of cleaning. That's like kind of a preposterous thing. No, I think laundry facilities are a game changer, right? So when we have enough business, we're able to build laundry facilities. And laundry facilities really are the backbone of where cleaning starts, because one, you have consistency in the sheets, the durability, the stain removal, the entire process of cleanliness. You also make sure that cleaners are stripping all the linens off the beds, which is really gross. And we don't even want to think about some of the things where cleaners are not doing that, or they're trying to wash stuff in washers that are never built or to a hygienic level of temperature to really remove stains or bugs or blood. So just the hygienic issues alone, professional laundry facility solves that. Then the other thing about a professional laundry facility is you can pack, right? So you can pack up the laundry per the cabin or for the house, and you can also put in the starter supplies, the toilet paper, the paper towels, the soap, shampoo, etc., whatever you're going to put in there. But what that does then is it makes it much more uniform for the cleaner, right? So when you uniform and you create a standard and a process, it makes it for the cleaner a lot easier to clean it. So then the cleaner can focus on cleaning as opposed to worrying about laundry and linens. So we haven't built Uber of cleaning, but we have figured out how to actually improve the process of cleaning.
One more question, Steve. On your email, it has your phone number, but it also has the fax number. Who's using fax these days?
You know, it's interesting. I had an attorney who was still using fax up until a year ago. I hope not many people are still using fax. It's really dated technology.
But you have it in your signature.
Yeah, I do. There's occasionally people that want to send me a fax.
You want to leave the customer in control. All right, Steve, as usual, you win nothing but our appreciation for playing at our name game. And that leads us to one last segment, and we call it Not So Hot Off the Press, But Definitely Happening, Sarah.
Yes, and today we have a bizarre topic that I would like to present to you, Tim and Steve. And that is that Matt Landau just sent out an email or a blog or something mm-hmm. that said he is getting 100% behind people in property photos, human beings in property photos. He said you can really mess it up, but if you do it right, it's going to help you book. Tim and I have not an agreeing point of view on this with Matt, but what do you think about that, Steve?
I think it's something that needs to be tested, just like virtual tours need to be tested, right? So everybody has ideas. And I think back from my direct consumer marketing days when I was doing catalogs, I mean, we split test everything. And maybe that's a fantastic idea. Maybe it's not. And the way you would do it is you would test it, just like you would test virtual tours before rolling it out. So again, another issue with HomeAway is they've announced they're rolling out virtual tours. We asked them, did you test it? They said no. These are kind of ridiculous issues where there's enough data to test if this works, and the winner will be who tests it and has enough data to prove what the consumer wants.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And maybe we should all do a test and get back together in a year. I discussed it with one of my marketing folks, and they had a good point that they think the e-blast type photos mm-hmm. where we show the area, you could even have people in the properties for those types of marketing efforts. But my hypothesis is that when you're looking at a specific property, if you see kids in there with parents and they're eating, it's just like, why would I want to see that? What do you think, Tim?
Oh, I'm with you, because it stirs emotions. That person's too fat. They're too old. They're too young. They're too pretty. They're too ugly. Whatever it is, you want to have or at least my philosophy is, have a blank canvas so they can visualize themselves there. They don't want to see a kid sitting on a sofa that they're going to be using in 2 weeks. That's my thoughts. But I'll let you test it out, Sarah, and tell me how it works.
All right, sounds good.
Well, you've been listening to Steve Milo with our great appreciation. He is the CEO and founder of VTrips. It has locations in Gatlinburg, Hilton Head, Santa Fe, Maui, and I think 13 locations in the Florida area. So, Steve, we really appreciate you being with us, and we hope you had some fun.
I did. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
And I think I heard him honestly laugh at least 3 times.
That's it.
What do you think?
Mission accomplished.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So long, everybody.
All right. See you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, seatoski.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T.